1591, verse 11. And Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. And Lot journeyed from the east, and they were separated, a man from his brother. And Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, signifies the external man, that it was such. And Lot journeyed from the east, signifies the things in the external man that proceed from celestial love. And they were separated, a man from his brother, signifies that those things cause the separation. 1592. Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. That this signifies the external man, and that it was such, is evident from the signification of the plain of Jordan explained in the preceding verse, which is the external man. The beauty of the external man, when it is conjoined with the internal, is described in the preceding verse. But its deformity, when disjoined, is described in this and the two following verses. 1593. And Lot journeyed from the east. That this signifies those things in the external man that recede from celestial love is evident from the signification of the east as being the Lord, and thus all that is celestial, concerning which above, number 101. And as the Lord is signified by the east, it follows that the east here is the Lord's internal man, which was divine. Thus, that the external man receded from the internal is here signified by Lot journeyed from the east. 1594. And they were separated, a man from his brother. That this signifies that those things cause the separation follows from what has been said. What a man, a brother, signifies what was stated above at verse 8, namely, union. And therefore to be separated a man from his brother signifies disunion. Man knows not what disunites the external man from the internal, and this for many reasons. It is partly owing to his not knowing, or if told, to his not believing that there is any internal man. And partly to his not knowing, or if told, to his not believing, that the love of self and its cupidities are what cause the disunion, and also the love of the world and its cupidities, but not so much as the love of self. The reason why man does not know, and if told, does not believe, that there is an internal man, is that he lives in corporeal and sensuous things, which cannot possibly see what is interior. Interior things can see what is exterior, but never exterior things what is interior. Take the case of sight. The internal sight can see what the external sight is, but the external sight cannot see what the internal sight is. Or again, the intellectual and the rational can perceive what and of what quality the scientific is, but not the reverse. A further cause is that man does not believe that there is a spirit which is separated from the body at death, and scarcely that there is an internal life which is called the soul. For when the sensuous and corporeal man thinks about the separation of the spirit from the body, it strikes him as an impossible thing, because he places life in the body, and confirms himself in this idea from the fact that brute animals also live, but still do not live after death, besides many other things. All this is a consequence of his living in corporeal and sensuous things, which kind of life, viewed in itself, scarcely differs from the life of brute animals, with the single exception that a man has ability to think and reason about the things he meets with. But upon this faculty, which brute animals have not, he does not then reflect. This cause, however, is not what most disunites the external man from the internal, for a very great part of mankind are in such unbelief, and the most learned more than the simple. But what disunites is principally the love of self, the love of the world also, but not so much as the love of self. The reason why man does not know this is that he does not live in charity. And when he is not living in charity, it cannot be apparent to him that a life of the love of self and its cupidities is so contrary to celestial love. There is also in the love of self and its cupidities something glowing and consequently delightful, which so affects the life that the man hardly knows otherwise than that therein consists eternal happiness itself. And therefore many place eternal happiness in becoming great after the life of the body, and in being served by others, even by angels, while they themselves desire to serve no one, except for the sake of self, with a hidden view to being served themselves. Their saying that they desire to serve the Lord alone is false, for those who are in the love of self desire to have even the Lord serve them, and so far as this is not done, they fall back. Thus they carry in their heart the desire to become lords themselves and to reign over the universe. It is easy to conceive what kind of government this would be when many, nay, when all, were like this. Is not that government infernal in which everyone loves himself more than any other? This lies hidden in the love of self. From this we can see the nature of the love of self, and we can see it also from the fact that there is concealed within it hatred against all who do not subject themselves to it as slaves. And because there is hatred, there are also revenge, cruelties, deceits, and many other wicked things. But mutual love, which alone is celestial, consists in a man's not only saying of himself, but acknowledging and believing that he is utterly unworthy, and that he is something vile and filthy, which the Lord from his infinite mercy continually withdraws and holds back from hell, into which the man continually strives, nay longs, to precipitate himself. His acknowledging and believing this is because it is true, not that the Lord or any angel desires him to acknowledge and believe it for the sake of his submission, but that he may not exalt himself, seeing that he is even such. For this would be as if excrement should call itself pure gold, or a fly of the dunghill should say that it is a bird of paradise. So far, therefore, as a man acknowledges and believes himself to be such as he really is, he recedes from the love of self and its cupidities, and abhors himself. So far as he does this, he receives celestial love from the Lord, that is, mutual love, which consists in the desire to serve all. These are they who are meant by the least, who become in the Lord's kingdom the greatest. See Matthew 20, verses 26 to 28, Luke 9, verses 46 to 48. From what has been said, we can see that what principally separates the external man from the internal is the love of self, and that what principally unites them is mutual love, which love is never possible until the love of self recedes, for these are altogether contrary to each other. The internal man is nothing else than mutual love. Man's very spirit or soul is the interior man that lives after death, and it is organic, for it is adjoined to the body while the man is living in this world. This interior man, that is, the soul or spirit, is not the internal man, but the internal man is in it when mutual love is in it. The things that belong to the internal man are the Lord's, so that it may be said that the internal man is the Lord. But because to an angel or a man, while he lives in mutual love, the Lord gives a celestial proprium, so that it appears no otherwise than that he does what is good of himself, the internal man is predicated of man as if it were his. But he who is in mutual love acknowledges and believes that all that is good and true is not his, but the Lord's, and his ability to love another as himself. And what is more, if he is like the angels, his ability to love another more than himself, he acknowledges and believes to be the Lord's gift. From which gift and its happiness he recedes, so far as he recedes from the acknowledgement that it is the Lord's. 1595, verse 12. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent as far as Sodom. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan signifies that the internal man was in the celestial things of love, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain signifies that the external man was in scientifics, and pitched his tent as far as Sodom signifies extension to cupidities. 1596. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan. That this signifies that the internal man was in the celestial things of love is evident from the signification of the land of Canaan as being the celestial things of love, spoken of several times before. 1597. And Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain. That this signifies that the external man was in scientifics is evident from the representation of Lot as being the external man, and from the signification of a city or cities as being doctrinal things, which in themselves are nothing but scientifics when predicated of the external man, while this is separated from the internal. That cities signify doctrinal things, both true and false, was before shown, number 402. 1598. And pitched his tent as far as Sodom. That this signifies extension to cupidities is evident from the signification of Sodom, explained above at verse 10, as being cupidity. These things correspond to those in the preceding verse 10, that the plain of Jordan was all well watered, like the garden of Yahuwah, like the land of Egypt in coming to Zoar, where the external man, when united to the internal, was treated of. And by the land of Egypt in coming to Zoar was signified scientifics from the affections of good. But here, that Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent as far as Sodom signifies the external man when not united to the internal, and by these things is signified scientifics from the affections of evil or from cupidities. For there was described the beauty of the external man when united to the internal, but here its deformity when not united. And still more is this deformity described in the verse that follows, where it is said, "And the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners against Yahuwah exceedingly." What the deformity of the external man is when separated from the internal may be seen by everyone from what has been said concerning the love of self and its cupidities, which are what chiefly cause separation. As great as is the beauty of the external man when united to the internal, so great is its deformity when disunited. For considered in itself, the external man is as nothing else than a servant to the internal. It is a kind of instrument by means of which ends may become uses, and uses be presented in effect, so that there may thus be a perfection of all things. The contrary takes place when the external man separates itself from the internal and desires to be of service to itself alone. And still more is this the case when it desires to rule over the internal man, which is principally the case from the love of self and its cupidities, as has been shown. 1599, verse 13. And the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners against Yahuwah exceedingly. The men of Sodom were wicked and sinners against Yahuwah exceedingly, signifies the cupidities to which the scientifics extended themselves. 1600. The men of Sodom were wicked and sinners against Yahuwah exceedingly. That this signifies the cupidities to which the scientifics extended themselves is evident from the signification of Sodom explained before as being cupidities, and from the signification of the men, viri, as being intellectual and rational things, here scientifics, because they are predicated of the external man when separated from the internal. That men signify intellectual and rational things was also shown above, number 265, 749, 1007. Scientifics are said to extend themselves to cupidities when they are learned with no other end than that the man may become great, not that they may serve him for use, that he may thereby become good. All scientifics are for the end that a man may become rational, and thus wise, and that thereby he may serve the internal man. 1601, verse 14. And Yahuwah said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, Lift up, I pray, thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward, and eastward and westward. Yahuwah said unto Abram, signifies that Yahuwah spake thus to the Lord. After that Lot was separated from him, signifies when the cupidities of the external man had been removed so as not to impede. Lift up, I pray, thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art, signifies the state in which the Lord then was, from which he could perceive things that were to come, northward and southward and eastward and westward, signifies all men, as many as there are in the universe. 1602. Yahuwah said unto Abram, That this signifies that Yahuwah thus spake to the Lord may be seen from the internal sense of the word, in which the Lord is meant by Abram, and also from the state itself in which he then was, which is also described here, namely that the external things that impeded had been removed, which is signified by the words, After that Lot was separated from him. In respect to the internal man, the Lord was divine because born from Yahuwah, and therefore when nothing impeded on the part of the external man, it follows that he saw all things that were to come. And that this then appeared as if Yahuwah spake is because it appeared before the external man. In respect to his internal man, the Lord was one with Yahuwah, as he himself teaches in John. Philip said, Show us the Father. Jesus said, Have I been so long time with you, and hast thou not known me, Philip? He that seeth me seeth the Father. How sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. 14 verses 6 and 8 to 11. 1603. After that Lot was separated from him. That this signifies when the cupidities of the external man had been removed so as not to impede is evident from the representation of Lot, which is the external man, and from what proceeds in regard to his being separated, that is, the things that would impede. And when these had been removed, the internal man, or Yahuwah, acted as one with the external, or with the Lord's human essence. The external things that do not agree, spoken of above, are what impede the internal man while acting into the external, from making it a one with itself. The external man is nothing else than a kind of instrument or something organic, having in itself no life. It receives life from the internal man, and then it appears as if the external man had life from itself. But with the Lord, after he had expelled the hereditary evil, and so had purified the organic things of his human essence, these too received life, so that the Lord, being already life in regard to his internal man, became life as to his external man also. This is what is signified by the glorification in John. Jesus saith, Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. 13 verses 31 and 32. Again, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. Now therefore, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. 17 verses 1 and 5. Again, Jesus said, Father, glorify thy name. There came therefore a voice from heaven, I have both glorified and will glorify it again. 12 verse 28. 1604. Lift up, I pray, thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art. That this signifies the state in which the Lord then was, is evident from the signification of lifting up the eyes and looking, which is to be illuminated and to perceive, as shown above at verse 10, and from the signification of place in the internal sense as being state. That place is nothing else than state was shown above, number 1274, 1376 to 1379. 1605. Northward and southward and eastward and westward. That this signifies all men, as many as there are in the universe, is evident from the signification of these quarters. In the word, the north, south, east, and west has each its own signification. The north signifies those who are out of the church, namely, those who are in darkness as regards the truths of faith. And it also signifies the darkness in man. But the south signifies those who are within the church, that is, who are in the light as regards cognitions, and it likewise signifies the light itself. The east signifies those who lived previously, and it also signifies celestial love, as before shown. But the west signifies those who are to come, and in like manner those who are not in love. The special signification of these words is seen from the connection in the internal sense. But when they are all mentioned, as here, the north, south, east, and west, they signify all in the whole world who are now living, and also those who have been, and those who are to come. They also signify the states of the human race in regard to love and faith. 1606, verse 15. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, signifies the celestial kingdom, that it should be the Lord's. And to thy seed forever, signifies those who should have faith in him. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it. That this signifies the celestial kingdom, that it should be the Lord's, is evident from the signification of the land, and here of the land of Canaan, because it is said, the land which thou seest, as being the celestial kingdom. For by the land of Canaan was represented the Lord's kingdom in the heavens, that is, heaven, and the Lord's kingdom on earth, or the church, which signification of land or earth has been several times treated of before. That the kingdom in the heavens and on earth has been given to the Lord is evident from various passages of the word. As in Isaiah, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, God, Hero, Father of Eternity, Prince of Peace. 9, verse 6. In Daniel, I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven. And he came even to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom. And all peoples, nations, and languages shall serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. 9, verses 13 and 14. The Lord himself also says the same in Matthew. All things are delivered unto me of my Father. 11, verse 27. Also in Luke 10, verse 22. And again in Matthew, all power has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. 28, verse 18. In John, thou gavest to the Son power over all flesh, that whatsoever thou hast given him, to them he should give eternal life. 17, verses 2 and 3. The same is also signified by his sitting at the right hand, as in Luke. Now from henceforth shall the Son of Man sit at the right hand of the power of God. 22, verse 69. As regards all power being given unto the Son of Man in the heavens and in earth, it is to be known that the Lord had power over all things in the heavens and in earth before he came into the world. For he was God from eternity and Yahuwah, as he plainly says in John. Now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. 17, verse 5. And again, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. 8, verse 58. For he was Yahuwah and God to the most ancient church that was before the flood, and was seen by them. He was also Yahuwah and God to the ancient church that was after the flood. And it was he who was represented by all the rites of the Jewish church, and whom they worshipped. But the reason he says that all power was given unto him in heaven and in earth, as if it were then his for the first time, is that by the Son of Man is meant his human essence, and this, when united to his divine essence, was also Yahuwah, and at the same time had power. And this could not be the case until he had been glorified, that is, until by unition with the divine essence, his human essence also had life in itself, and so became in like manner divine and Yehovah, as he says in John, "As the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself." 5, verse 26. It is his human essence, or external man, that is likewise called Son of Man in Daniel, in the passage quoted above, and of which it is said in the passage quoted from Isaiah, "A child is born, and a son is given to us." That the celestial kingdom should be given to him, and all power in the heavens and on earth, he now saw, and it was now promised him. And this is signified by the words, "All the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed after thee forever." This was before his human essence had been united to his divine essence, which was united when he had overcome the devil and hell, that is, when by his own power and his own might he had expelled all evil, which alone disunites. And to thy seed forever. That this signifies those who should have faith in him is evident from the signification of seed as being faith, and indeed the faith of charity, spoken of before, number 255, 256, 1025. That the celestial kingdom should be given to his seed, that is, to those who have faith in him, is clearly evident from the words of the Lord himself in John. "The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, but he that believeth not the Son shall not see life." 3:35-36. And again, "As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, to those that believe in his name, who were born not of bloods, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man." 1:12-13. From these words it is evident what faith or believing in him is, namely, that it is with those who receive him and believe in him, not from the will of the flesh, nor from the will of man. The will of the flesh is what is contrary to love and charity, for this is signified by flesh, number 999. And the will of man is what is contrary to the faith that is from love or charity, for this is what is signified by man. For the will of the flesh and the will of man are what disjoin, but love and the derivative faith are what conjoin. Therefore, they in whom are love and the derivative faith are those who are born of God. And because they are born of God, these are called sons of God, and are his seed, to whom is given the celestial kingdom. These things are signified by the following words in this verse: "All the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever." That the celestial kingdom cannot be given to those who are in faith without charity, that is, to those who say that they have faith and yet hold the neighbor in hatred, may be seen by anyone who is willing to reflect. For there can be no life in such faith, when hatred, that is hell, constitutes the life. For hell consists of nothing but hatreds, not of the hatreds which a man has received hereditarily, but of those which he has acquired by actual life. 1609, verse 16. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth signifies multiplication immeasurably, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered, signifies asseveration. 1610. I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth. That this signifies multiplication immeasurably is evident without explanation. It is here said that his seed should be made as the dust of the earth, in other places in the word as the sand of the sea, and in others as the stars of the heavens. Each expression has its own peculiar signification. The dust of the earth refers to things that are celestial, for the earth, as before shown, signifies the celestial of love. The sand of the sea refers to things that are spiritual, for the sea, as has also been shown, signifies the spiritual of love. As the stars of the heavens signifies both of these in a higher degree, and as none of these things can be numbered, it became a customary form of speaking to express by them immeasurable fructification and multiplication. That his seed, that is, the faith of love or love, should be immeasurably multiplied, in the supreme sense signifies the Lord, and in fact his human essence. For the Lord as to his human essence was called the seed of the woman. See number 256. And when the Lord's human essence is signified, by immeasurable multiplication is meant the infinite, celestial, and spiritual. But when the faith of charity or charity in the human race is signified by seed, it is meant that this seed in each one who lives in charity is immeasurably multiplied, as also comes to pass in the other life with everyone who lives in charity. With such a one, charity and the derivative faith, and together with these, happiness, are multiplied to such a degree that it can only be described as immeasurable and beyond words. When by seed there is signified the human race, the multiplication of this in the Lord's kingdom is also immeasurable, not only from those within the church and their children, but also from those who are without the church and their children. Hence the kingdom of the Lord, or heaven, is immeasurable. Concerning its immensity, of the Lord's divine mercy, more will be said elsewhere. 1611, verse 17. Arise, walk through the land, in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for unto thee will I give it. Arise, walk through the land, signifies that he should survey the celestial kingdom. In the length of it and in the breadth of it, signifies its celestial and its spiritual. For unto thee will I give it, signifies that it was to be his. 1612. Arise, walk through the land. That this signifies that he should survey the celestial kingdom is evident from the signification of the land as being the celestial kingdom, spoken of several times before. To arise and walk through the land in the sense of the letter is to explore and see what it is. In the spiritual sense, therefore, in which by the land, that is, the land of Canaan, is signified the kingdom of God in the heavens, or heaven, and the kingdom of God on the earth, or the church, it signifies to survey, and also to perceive. 1613. In the length of it and in the breadth of it. that this signifies the celestial and the spiritual, or what is the same, good and truth. That length signifies good and breadth truth may be seen explained before, number 650. The reason is that the land signifies the celestial kingdom or the church, of which no length and breadth can be predicated, but only those things which are parallel and correspondent, which are goods and truths. The celestial or good being primary is compared to length, and the spiritual or truth being secondary is compared to breadth. That breadth is truth appears plainly enough in the prophetic word, as in Habakkuk. I raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and swift nation, that walketh in the breadths of the land. 1 verse 6. The Chaldeans denote those who are in falsity. To walk in the breadths of the land denotes to destroy truths, for this is predicated of the Chaldeans. In David, O Yahuwah, thou hast not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. Thou hast made my feet to stand in a broad place. Psalm 31, verse 8. To stand in a broad place denotes in truth. Again, out of straitness have I called upon Yah. Yah answered me in a broad place. Psalm 118, verse 5. To answer in a broad place denotes in the truth. In Hosea, Yahuwah will feed them as a lamb in a broad place. 4, verse 16. To feed in a broad place signifies to teach truth. In Isaiah, Asher shall go through Judah. He shall overflow and pass through. He shall reach even to the neck, and the stretching out of his wings shall be the fullness of the breadth of thy land. 8, verse 8. Asher denotes reasoning, which will overflow the land or the church. The wings denote the reasonings whence falsities arise. The fullness of the breadth denotes that it is full of falsities or things contrary to truth. Because the length of a land signifies good and its breadth truth, the New Jerusalem is said to have been measured and to lie four square, and its length to be as great as its breadth. Revelation 21, verse 16. From which everyone can see that the length and the breadth signify nothing else, since the New Jerusalem is nothing but the Lord's kingdom in the heavens and on earth. From the signification of things in the internal sense, modes of speaking concerning celestial and spiritual things by means of such things as are on earth, as by length and breadth, formerly became familiar, as the terms height and depth are used in common discourse at the present day, when predicated of wisdom. 1614. For unto thee will I give it. That this signifies that it should be his is evident without explanation. That the land or the celestial kingdom is the Lord's alone is evident from what has been shown so many times, namely, that no other is the Lord of heaven. And as he is the Lord of heaven, he is the Lord of the church also. It is also evident from the fact that all the celestial and the spiritual, or good and truth, are from the Lord alone, and from these the Lord is the all in all of his heaven, and this so completely that he who has no apperception of good and truth from the Lord is no longer in heaven. This is the sphere that reigns in the universal heaven. This also is the soul of heaven, And this is the life that inflows into all who are in good. 1615, verse 18. And Abram pitched his tent, and came and dwelt in the oak groves of Mamre that are in Hebron, and there he built an altar to Yahuwah. Abram pitched his tent, and came and dwelt in the oak groves of Mamre that are in Hebron, signifies that the Lord came to a perception still more internal. This is the sixth state. And there he built an altar to Yahuwah, signifies worship from that state. 1616. And Abram pitched his tent, and came and dwelt in the oak groves of Mamre that are in Hebron. That this signifies that the Lord attained to a perception still more internal is evident from the signification of pitching a tent, that is, of moving and fixing a tent, as being to be conjoined, for a tent is the holy thing of worship, as shown before, number 414, 1452, by which the external man is conjoined with the internal. And from the signification of an oak grove as being perception, as explained above, number 1442, 1443, where it was the oak grove of More, which is the first perception, but here the oak groves of Mamre in the plural, which signify more perception, that is, perception more internal. This perception is called the oak groves of Mamre that are in Hebron. Mamre is also mentioned elsewhere, as in Genesis 14, verse 13, 18, verse 1, 23, verses 17 to 19, 35, verse 27. And Hebron likewise, as in Genesis 35, verse 27, 37, verse 14. Joshua 10, verses 36 and 39, 14, verses 13, 14, and 15, 15, verses 13 and 54, 20, verse 7, 21, verses 11 and 13, Judges 1, verses 10 and 20, and in other places. But with what signification will of the Lord's divine mercy be seen where these passages are explained? As to the oak groves of Mamre that are in Hebron, signifying a still more internal perception, the case is as follows. As the things that belong to the external man are conjoined with the celestial things of the internal man, so perception increases and becomes more internal. Conjunction with celestial things gives perception, for in the celestial things that are of love to Yahuwah is the very life of the internal man, or what is the same, in the celestial things that are of love, that is, in celestial love, Yahuwah is present, which presence is not perceived in the external man until conjunction has been effected, all perception being from conjunction. From the internal sense it is here evident how the case was with the Lord, namely that his external man, or the human essence, was conjoined with the divine essence by degrees, according to the multiplication and fructification of cognitions. In no other way can anyone, as a man, be conjoined with Yahuwah or the Lord, except by means of cognitions. For by means of cognitions a man becomes a man. And so the Lord, because born as are other men, was also instructed as they are. But into his cognitions as receptacles, celestial things were constantly being instilled, so that the cognitions continually became the recipient vessels of celestial things, and themselves also became celestial. He continually advanced in this way to the celestial things of infancy, for, as before said, the celestial things of love are insinuated from the earliest infancy up to childhood, and also to youth, When being a man, he is then and afterwards imbued with sciences and cognitions. If the man is such that he can be regenerated, these sciences and cognitions are then filled with the celestial things that are of love and charity, and are thus implanted in the celestial things with which he was gifted from infancy up to childhood and youth. And thus his external man is conjoined with his internal man. They are first implanted in the celestial things with which he was gifted in youth, next in those with which he was gifted in childhood, and finally in those with which he was gifted in infancy. And then he is a little child, of whom the Lord said, that of such is the kingdom of God. This implantation is effected by the Lord alone, and for this reason nothing celestial is possible with man, nor can be, that is not from the Lord, and that is not the Lord's. But the Lord from his own power conjoined his external man with his internal man, and filled his cognitions with celestial things, and implanted them in the celestial things, and this in fact according to divine order. First in the celestial things of his childhood, next in the celestial things of the age between childhood and infancy, and finally in the celestial things of his infancy, and thus at the same time became, as to the human essence, innocence itself and love itself, from which are all innocence and all love in the heavens and on earth. Such innocence is true infancy, because it is at the same time wisdom. But the innocence of infancy, unless it becomes the innocence of wisdom by means of cognitions, is of no use. And therefore in the other life, infants are imbued with cognitions. As the Lord implanted cognitions in celestial things, so had he perception, for, as before said, all perception is from conjunction. He had his first perception when he implanted the scientifics of childhood, which perception is signified by the oak grove of Moray, and his second treated of here, which is more internal, when he implanted cognitions, which perception is signified by the oak groves of Mamre that are in Hebron. 1617. That this is the sixth state is evident from the things contained in the preceding chapter. 1618. And there he built an altar to Yahuwah. That this signifies worship from that state is evident from the signification of an altar as being a representative of all worship in general, explained before, number 921. By worship in the internal sense is meant all conjunction through love and charity. When a man is in love and charity, he is continually in worship, external worship being merely the effect. The angels are in such worship. With them, therefore, there is a perpetual Sabbath. And from this, the Sabbath, in the internal sense, signifies the Lord's kingdom. But a man, while in the world, ought not to be otherwise than in external worship also. For by external worship, internal things are excited, and by means of external worship, external things are kept in holiness, so that internal things can flow in. And besides, man is thus imbued with cognitions, and is prepared for receiving celestial things, and is also gifted with states of holiness, although he is unaware of this, which states of holiness are preserved to him by the Lord for the use of eternal life. For in the other life, all the states of his life return.